So maybe you noticed, or maybe you didn't notice if you're under-caffeinated, that our altar hangings and my chasuble today are white. They've changed from green to white. And if you're wondering why, and didn't we just do that? It's because this month we get two big feast days. The first was All Saints, and it was at the beginning of the month. And today, at the end of the month, is Christ the King Sunday. Now, this feast day is a recent feast day among feast days. It was introduced by Pope Pius XI in 1925. And it's viewed in part as a response to the political turmoil that followed World War I and the rise of various isms like nationalism, secularism, fascism, communism. Many people around the world had lost their faith in the church and in God. So Pope Pius, the spiritual leader of so many people in the world, decided that this place could use a little reminder that regardless of who or what you align yourselves with on earth, ultimately, there's really only one loyalty and one ruler that is worth the praise that we offer of someone that has got integrity, offers security, and love. It's the only one we need. I would say that in today's world, we need that same reminder, especially now as our country is bitterly divided about loyalties and political parties. And don't even get me started about football teams. A couple of weeks ago, my mother-in-law could not even look at each other during the Alabama-LSU game, and I see that there are two warring factions right here from yesterday's game, some Stanford people, some Cal people. It's okay. We all love each other. So many times we let our beliefs be shaped by those that we most strongly identify with or feel secure with. And the more threatened that we feel, the more we might lash out for our side to win. Forget facts and truth. We want to win at all costs because we want to be loyal to our cause. And this isn't a new thing, or even a new thing after World War I. This sort of tribalism has been around for thousands of years. We see it in the events leading up to today's gospel reading, like the religious elite who tried to trick Jesus to say or do the wrong thing because he was perceived by them as a threat to the security of their earthly kingdom. So maybe Pope Pius was onto something almost 100 years ago when he created this day to remember the one true king, Jesus Christ. So what do you think of when you think of a king? Maybe a white guy on a throne. I immediately, personally, think of Elvis because I am from Memphis, and that's what you think of when you think of the king. But what also comes to mind are images of men in powdered wigs and fur-trimmed, bejeweled capes and big golden crowns. Pondering Jesus as a king is not really my go-to picture of Jesus, although there is one image that is remarkable that I remember clearly. It's the magnificent stained glass window above the altar at All Saints Chapel at the University of the South. When my family and I lived in Suwannee, we spent a lot of time staring at this hypnotizing vision of a powerful, robed, crowned, enthroned, risen Jesus holding a scepter. My favorite part was that he's kind of floating above an ominous cloud that hovers over a depiction of the chapel itself, and below that, a procession of clergy and worshipers. And it was a big reminder that in Suwannee, where you couldn't throw a rock without hitting an Episcopal priest, that we all still worshiped Jesus as God and not ourselves. The enthroned Jesus looks so magnificent that you can barely see the wound still visible in his hand. It almost takes your breath away when you see that. It's a stark reminder that this king is not like other kings of the world. Our gospel today is such a reminder. Our passage is a seemingly weird choice if we're celebrating the majesty of a king today, yet it's so appropriate for this glorious day. Jesus hung on a cross under a mocking sign, "This is the King of the Jews." That's not at all what we think of when we think of a king, powerful and mighty. Jesus was a victim of misguided allegiances, prejudices, and fears shaped by beliefs of various factions. Yet even as he was perceivably powerless on the cross, being mocked by some and mourned by others, the criminal being crucified with him recognized the most powerful person in the situation, saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The truth of Jesus' real identity as king of a divine realm with the ability to forgive, save, and bring eternal life was not able to be suppressed by those that wanted him dead, not even in the most unkingly of circumstances. Next week is the beginning of Advent, when our thoughts and our readings will turn to another place that would not normally fit a king. We will find Jesus in a barn, in a makeshift bed made of a food trough used for cattle, and placed there by an unwed teenage mother. And we will begin again the story of the life of the Son of God, who at every turn defies the prevailing expectations and projections of what a king should be. Because we will hear again how he lived simply and loved deeply and put others first, preached justice, mercy, peace, and forgiveness. We will hear how he died for those he loved, then and in the future of all humanity. And we will discover anew how he miraculously and gloriously destroyed death forever. That is the story that makes this day a tale to tell. That Jesus is the only king truly worthy of our praise. More than likely, our world will continue to divide into factions and tribes defined by particular beliefs. We as Christians, however, may remember that our allegiance is to a higher cause, one that rejects the tenets of injustice and intolerance. We, with Christ as our King, may heed the call to uphold the values of the kingdom of God. And today we look for our King on a cross, but powerful in humanity, strong in peace, confident in death, triumphant in forgiveness, and soon a baby in a manger. Amen.